and welcome to the Social Disease Podcast. I'm Bridget.
And I'm Jasper.
And it's a big day for us. We are starting season 13.
This is either a cause to celebrate or a cause to despair.
It's just crazy because it's kind of like full circle almost for us.
Yes. Like, when did we finish season 12? I forget.
Probably like, what, June or July of 2020?
I think it was a little later than that.
Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. It was probably like the end of 2020.
Yeah, probably around there. So it's been probably like a year and a half since we kind of looped to season one, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely been a while. I was thinking we started with season 10, not season, oh my God, I don't even know. We didn't start with season 12. That's why I got confused.
Yeah. Well, we started by doing seasons 10 through 12.
Yes. And now we're finally back. It's funny because my memory is like non-existent. So even like starting this, I'm like, what is happening? Like, I should have rewatched season 12, but I did forget how long the season is.
Yeah. Season 13 is a doozy.
It's 45 episodes.
It's only 40 episodes.
What? Really? I looked it up on HBO Max and it says 45.
Season 11 is 45.
Huh. I think you got to double check that.
No, I'm positive that it's 40 episodes.
What? Really? Why does it say 45 online?
Maybe you're looking at season 11.
I don't know. I don't think so. Is Zoe in season 11?
No.
She came up. Whatever, fine. 40, it doesn't matter. It's still a lot.
The thing about season 13 compared to like seasons 10 through 12 is that it's like a similar episode length, right? Like 40-ish episodes, whatever it actually is. But like compared to seasons 10 through 12, it just seems a lot more drawn out.
Yeah.
I think part of it is because season 13, when it was airing, like, it took over a full calendar year to actually air the full season.
Whoa.
Yeah, so I think it started, what year was that? Probably 2013. I think it probably started, like, June or July 2013, and it didn't end until, like, July 2014.
So it kind of followed, like, a real school year schedule?
Yeah, about, but season 13 doesn't end the school year. It ends at spring break.
That's insane.
Yeah. So I think it's the fact that when season 13 was airing, it just took so long for the whole season to actually air that by the end, it was just like, it was so fatigued. But then also like just so much shit happens in season 13.
Yes, like, there's so much stuff.
Yeah, there's like way too much trauma, too much like death related and like terrible things going on like the whole season that is just like very emotionally fatiguing to sit through it all.
Yeah, like even the B and C plots are like so intense that you're like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah, like usually every Degrassi season usually has like one really big thing, maybe two, but season 13 just has like so many things. Like you have Claire's cancer leading right into Adam's dying. And then you have like Zoe's sexual assault, and that is like a whole thing in the second half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we're going to talk about today, we have Allie's whole abuse thing. So it's just like so many terrible things.
Yep.
Throughout the whole season, that is just so much to like just absorb.
That's what I'm hoping HBO Max doesn't copy. Like, I understand. I mean, I've watched a few episodes of Euphoria, and like, I know a lot of people are nervous that it's going to be either similar or something like that, but it doesn't need to be that. It can have some humor in there. Like, we can throw some funny things and like we can throw some just like normal experiences that high school kids have. Like, we don't need all of these in one go.
Yeah. Season 13, like, I do think it is overly hated by the fandom because it does have some really good spots. But it also has some very low spots as well. So I do understand the criticism, but I do think people do kind of ignore the genuinely good spots of the season.
I agree. I think it definitely is hated a lot, and I don't really see it yet. I mean, at least with the plots that we watched for this specific episode. So we focused on Allie, Dallas, Jenna, and Connor, who, to be honest, had like bare minimum in this entire season, which is kind of a good thing to like start with, because I didn't really want to dive in too much right away. And Jasper picked this because he's good.
Yeah, because the other thing is that the characters who do a lot do a shit ton. Like, if you follow us on Twitter, you've probably seen that I have tweeted like statistics about the episodes, about like which characters get which plots and such. And in season 13, Maya and Drew, for one thing, are in every single episode of the season. They are in all 40 episodes. And then they have the main plot of the episode for 10 episodes each.
That's insane.
So Maya has a full quarter of the season. Drew has a full quarter of the season. And then Claire has a shit ton as well. I forget. She was slightly less, but she was up there.
That's surprising that Claire like wasn't the most, because I think we've mentioned this too. Claire has the most episodes in Degrassi history.
Yes.
So this season is probably why, because there's so many episodes in the season and she's in. I feel like I'm skipping every single part she's in. There's the whole thing.
Yeah, it's insane. Just like, it's just too much.
Yes, that's it. It is just too much.
Yeah. So I guess before we get into Allie and Squad, we could just briefly talk about the format for the rest of the season. So we have 5 episodes planned overall. The first one here is about Allie, Dallas, Jenna, and Connor. And then we split up each class into 2 episodes. So we have Maya's class, the 10th graders. We're splitting up into 2 episodes. We're splitting them into Maya, Zig, and Miles. And then Tristan, Zoe, and then Winston and Frankie, because they have teeny little plots with them getting together because nobody cares about them. And then for the other half of the seniors, besides Allie and crew, it's basically the Paris arc for part one. So that's the whole stuff with Adam dying and Claire having cancer for part one with the seniors. And then part two is going to be like the whole Claire and Drew, Eli love triangle, as well as Becky and Imogen have various things going on throughout the season as well.
Yeah, very well thought out. It's funny because Jasper really took time into thinking about how to split this up, because I was like, Chaser, how are we going to do this? There's so many things going on. And he did it. And I feel like this is definitely the best way to do it.
Yeah, I watched the whole season. Like, just, I didn't do specific characters or anything. I just watched the whole thing through. I was like, Claire's cancer never comes up after she goes into remission. So like, how do we deal with that? Who knows?
And then Adam's death is like literally never mentioned again.
Yep. So it's like, we're just gonna isolate all that Paris summer stuff that isn't relevant to the rest of the season. Just do that all at once and then deal with everything else.
So crazy. But yeah, no, I'm ready to get into it if you are.
Yeah. So I guess we could start with Jenna and Connor, because they just have 2 teeny little things.
Let's do it.
So just as a short recap for what they did before season 13, since we are skipping 10 through 12. So if you haven't seen those episodes in a while, we haven't either, but Jenna and Connor, let's see, Connor never really does much to begin with, but Jenna had her whole pregnancy thing, right? And then Casey cheated on her, blah, 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 lots of stuff happened. They gave the baby up for adoption. Casey ended up leaving because his abusive dad started abusing him again. So him and his mom skipped town, so he's gone. And then Jenna, she had a little like spiritual awakening with the help of Becky. And then she got together with Connor at the end of season 12. So her and Connor are a cute new couple, and they start off season 13. They're in Paris on the Paris trip, as is most other people besides Claire and Drew. And the one storyline that they have in Paris actually happens because of Allie. And so Allie is seeing her French boyfriend, Leo, and she is worried about having sex with him for the first time, because for Allie, sex always complicates things for her. So she brings Jenna and Connor along with her on one of their dates. to kind of act as a shield so that Allie and Leo do not have sex. And Connor, of course, lets slip that they are there to stop Allie and Leo from having sex. And so this kind of causes a conversation to happen about sex. And Connor is like, I don't like sex. It seems really gross and stuff. And then Jenna is like, does that mean you don't want to have sex with me? And Connor is like, no. And so Jenna gets pissed and she actually like breaks up with him because of this. Like, I didn't realize that they broke up until the next episode when Jenna is like, we're not together anymore. I was like, what? And so Allie like tries to like work things out with him. First, she has to like make up with Leo, which we'll talk about later. But she like sets Jenna up with another French guy, like somebody who Leo knows or something. And it's very uncomfortable. The guy is like all over Jenna and Jenna is not into it. And so when Jenna gets pissed, Allie is like, you know what? Let's have Jenna and Connor talk things out. And so Connor just talks about how he's not really sure that he's into sex in general, not just with Jenna, just like he kind of just finds sex gross. They just talk about how they have a strong emotional connection and they get back together. Later on in the season, it is during the school year, there's like a school dance happening like at the end of the week or something. And Jenna wants her and Connor to be taken more seriously as a couple at school. Since Connor has always kind of been the nerdy type of guy, they don't really take their relationship seriously. And so she convinces Connor to do a makeover for him, to like get him to wear like more conventionally attractive clothes. They get him contacts so that he's not wearing the glasses. And when they do this, Connor is hesitant at first, but he decides to compromise because he realizes that this whole dance thing is important to her. But as soon as Connor has his makeover, Jenna starts getting jealous because Connor starts getting lots of attention from lots of freshmen. So they're like, oh, Connor, can you help me with my math homework? And so Jenna starts feeling very insecure about this. So she wears a very small dress to the dance. What does Allie say? It's like that Allie bought it in 10th grade and it was small on her then or something.
Yes.
It's a very, very teeny dress. It barely fits her. And when Jenna and Connor actually end up winning king and queen of this dance, Connor lifts Jenna's arm up and the strap breaks, revealing Jenna's boobs to the whole school. And so Jenna runs off the stage completely embarrassed, but Connor comes to talk to her and he says the iconic line, why didn't you wear a garment that could contain your ample bosom?
Literally the worst.
And Jenna talks about how like she was jealous of all the other girls, but Connor reassures her that he likes her just the way she is and that Jenna liked him before he was hot. And so that makes her so much better than everybody else. And so they exchange I love yous for the first time. And that's kind of the end of the episode. And I think that's actually the very last plot that both Jenna and Connor ever get. So,
okay. So let's start with, I guess, the first of the two. Yeah. Technically. One thing that I thought was kind of annoying and does not help me in the Jenna field is that Allie was obviously alone on this trip. And Jenna did not care. And Jenna was like, oh, me and Connor are going to the Eiffel Tower. Oh, me and Connor are doing our project together. Oh, whatever. Like, I personally think if I was with my boyfriend on a trip and I knew that my friend didn't have any other friends besides me, I wouldn't just be like going off on my own with my boyfriend, like leaving my friend. Personally, that's what I wouldn't do. So that kind of like annoyed me to start the episode or the season, was pretty much just Jenna being like, sorry, we're gonna go do this stuff. So then when her and Connor get into this weird fight, she's like, Allie, like, why can't you ditch your boyfriend and hang out with me? I mean, like, Allie kind of fucked up in this case, but, you know, good intentions. She was like, I just want a girl's night. I'm like, Jenna, you like did not include Allie for like 1 second this entire trip until you got dumped. And now you're like, Allie, why aren't you doing all these good things for me? Come on, fake. But anyway.
Yeah, I do think that Jenna could have like tried to include Allie in her plans a bit more. But I also do think that it's fine that Allie wasn't included in everything.
But she wasn't included in anything. And that's what like kind of ended up with the whole Leo situation.
Wasn't that only just one day?
Well, like, afterwards, it's not like they're doing much together from what we see anyway. All I know is that Connor and Jenna are doing the project together, and Connor and Jenna went to the Eiffel Tower and are not, you don't really see them, like, making an effort to have Allie hang out with them until Jenna's like, I'm alone, hang out with me. But anyway, I feel like it's hard when they're writing Connor, because I don't know if they, like, are just taking stereotypes from people who have autism, or if they, like, actually consulted somebody who had autism before, like, writing this. Because it's kind of, like, seeming, like, I understand what they're trying to say, but also at the same time, they're making it seem like he is, like, ew, icky. Like, I don't want that. And it's, like, that's not true for everyone who has autism. So I don't really understand, like, what their goal was with this plot, because at the end, Jenna's like, well, I'll just show you other things. And then it's just, like, are they just doing it anyway? Like, what was the point of this?
Yeah, like, it's very interesting. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of silly. It's like, Jenna broke up with him because Connor says he's not interested in sex. It seemed very weird.
It just seemed like one of those I don't want to say miscommunications, because it was pretty clear that Connor is like, I don't want to do the act. Not that I, like, think you're disgusting. Like, I'm just surprised that Jenna is still not making the connection that, like, this isn't about her.
Yeah.
So that was kind of weird. Allie totally messed up the situation. Like, why would Jenna want to go on a double date, like, 1 minute after her and Connor, like, had a fight?
Right.
You know? Like, what was the, there was no thought process. Like, Allie was just being straight up selfish and, like, whatever, fine. It happens, but it just was not good.
Yeah, I completely agree with that part. But my issue with, I guess, both of Jenna's plots, it's that I feel like Jenna is more mature than her reactions in both of these plots.
I don't know. Again, it's very tough for me to, like, I can't really lean either way with Jenna, because I think it's just tough because part of me wants to be like, why is she letting Connor go around just saying anything that he wants, and, like, does not say, hey, Connor, like, not cool to tell Claire that she still has lung cancer because she's coughing because we're making out. Like, are you just gonna, like, let it happen? Like, what is that? But also then she's also like, Connor, you're unattractive and I care a lot about what people think because I'm already dating you. Like, it's not even like he was ugly. Like, I didn't really understand what was going on. There's a lot of, like, selfishness going around from her.
Yeah, that's why I was confused, because Jenna's whole, like, storyline in the season 10 era was that she grew up a lot. And also, like, just the one plot of her getting together with Connor in the first place was that she does find him attractive, despite, like, the fact that he is very nerdy and such.
Yeah.
And then, like, just the maturity in general is, like, why is she so hung up on the fact that, like, Connor doesn't want to, like, just kind of talked about how he thinks sex is gross, you know?
I'm also surprised that this hasn't been a conversation that's come up more.
Well, I think they're at the very beginning of their relationship at this point.
Yeah, but I also feel like it's something that, I don't know, is, I guess, like, Jenna says it, like, it's a risky thing for her. Like, she hasn't had the best experience. She literally got pregnant. So I guess, yeah, maybe they just haven't had the chance, or it was new or whatever. It's just kind of, I feel like her and Connor together is a different Jenna than the Jenna that, like, helps Allie with the Leo situation. Like, I feel like they're two different characters.
Yeah, I completely see that now that you say it.
Because there are parts where I'm like, wow, that, like, Jenna is a really good friend to Allie right now. But then it's like, Jenna is kind of shitty to Connor. So I don't really get it.
Yeah. Like, for example, I could see Jenna wanting to be, like, a conventionally attractive couple if it was, like, seasons 9 or 10 Jenna. But Jenna, after having gone through all the shit that she's gone through, suddenly cares about the whole school thinking that Connor is hot.
Well, okay, actually, think of it like this. She wanted to be popular so bad in the beginning. Remember? She, like, dated Dave so that she could, like, be on the Power Squad, and, like, she cared a lot about what people think. So I feel like that kind of just doesn't go away.
I mean, I feel like it did, though.
Apparently not, because here's this all over again, but with her. I don't understand if Degrassi wants me to think, like, why is she being self-conscious about it? Because Connor's a good-looking guy. Like, are we pretending like he's not? Is it because he's nerdy? Like, is it because, like, what is the reason? She doesn't say. She just thinks that everybody thinks they're weird, but, like, do they?
I think Allie and Claire do have several comments about their relationship here and there.
Which is also fair because Connor did have that whole, like, underwear situation, and...
But Connor is also their good friend, so, yes. Like, they know Connor.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, I personally don't know if I would support my friend dating somebody who did that. To be honest, it's kind of like the same thing where, like, Peter took Manny's nudes. Like, would I support my friend dating him after? No. Does Emma do it anyway? Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, the only thing that I could kind of understand is that they only did this plot because Connor's actor is hot now.
Yeah.
That's the main reason that they did this plot. Like, AJ Sauden kind of has the most notorious glow up for everybody in Degrassi. So I think they just realized that and they were like, you know what? We're going to have a plot where everybody could see how hot he is without, like, looking like Connor, you know?
Yeah, which is funny because that's, like, absolutely the point. That is so true.
Yeah. So I think they weren't really thinking if it made sense for the characters. They were like, we need to show off our hot actor because he's hot now and everyone needs to know it.
It just wasn't a good look for Jenna, though.
Yeah.
I guess the last thing that I have to say about that is I think that they put them together but didn't know what to do with them after. And I think we've talked about this where they kind of disappear after this. And I think they could have done more with either of them if they wanted to, but I think they had so much going on with, like, Claire, Drew, Maya, like, all that shit that they were like, you know what? That's it. It's their time. Like, we're just gonna slowly ghost them out of here.
Yeah, well, because the same thing happens with Allie and Dallas once they get together. They very much just become the same type of background characters at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that Jenna at least works pretty well as, like, a supporting friend character, like you said earlier. Like, yeah. Jenna is a great friend throughout Allie's whole thing, and she's also pretty good when she happens to be around for Claire talking about her shit.
Mm-hmm.
Connor kind of works as comic relief, I guess, some of the time, with him saying silly things. But as background characters, I do think they work, but given how long both of them have been on the show at this point, it is very disappointing that they are just relegated to that role.
Yeah. Yeah, but this isn't, like, the first time Degrassi has done this, unfortunately. I feel like they kind of slowly, like, phase characters out a little bit. Dave went away.
Yes.
I guess kind of like Ellie became a shitty character. Like, they just kind of, once other characters start to, like, become bigger, they kind of just are like, yeah, we'll throw some to the side.
And that is fine. But I think the other issue is because, like, the other characters on the show have a disproportionate amount of storylines. Mm-hmm. Like, they could have very easily just, what's the word, distributed the storylines better rather than front-loading everything on Claire, Maya, and Drew.
Absolutely. I totally agree. It would have been so much easier to watch. Like, I'm not looking forward to watching Maya's... Who do we put together? Maya, Zig, and Miles. It's going to be insane. It's going to be so much stuff.
Yeah. So, well, I agree that Degrassi does phase out characters. I think in this situation, it wasn't necessary because they just focused more on other characters.
Yeah, I really wish that they did more with, like, Allie, especially. She was pretty much, like, the Manny of the show.
Yeah.
But I feel like we could talk about that specifically all day. So is there anything else for Jenna and Connor?
Only other thing was that Connor is, like, the only possible example of asexual representation that Degrassi might have from this one plot.
See, that's the thing. Like, I don't know if they were going for that or if they're going for the I'm autistic and I don't like being touched and I don't like the textures. And I, like, that's where I feel like it just wasn't good.
Yeah, I agree.
And wait, wasn't, what's her name? Is it Yael? asexual?
Yael is non-binary.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I don't know. I have to rewatch that. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Okay. My bad. Yeah. So that's the thing too. Like, I feel like they were not clear. Did they want this to be an autism thing or did they want this to be a sexuality thing?
Very sloppy. Like, I do like Jenna and Connor as a couple. They are very cute. But the few storylines they got is just like, what was the point?
But they were kind of on the side of the relief factor that you were saying, how there's so much trauma. Like, this was not traumatic. Neither of these plots were. It was fine. I was like, bearable, was not crying at the end. All good.
Yeah, so it's good in that sense that it brought some balance to all the other things. But they're still kind of whatever storylines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So for Allie and Dallas, Dallas ends with getting together with Allie.
We got to start with Allie, I think.
I think we got to start with Allie.
It's going to be our long one in the middle.
Yes. Okay. So again, brief recap for Allie in seasons 10 to 12 era.
I'm timing you. You get 10 minutes maybe.
Oh, even that's too much. Okay.
All right. Go for it.
Quick recap, seasons 10 to 12 Allie. She dated Drew. She had a whole boiler room scandal because she was obsessed with Drew and popularity and stuff. And it ended up with her parents finding out about her whole past. She left Degrassi and then she ended up running away because her parents were being terrible to her. Her parents kind of made up, so she came home. And then season 11, she got together with Dave. They had a whole back and forth for a while. Dave may or may not have cheated on her, but they got back together. And then season 12, what is it? What'd she do in season 12? Oh, she had a pregnancy scare. She was fast tracking to graduate early, but that didn't end up happening. She broke up with Dave because he wasn't supportive of her career dreams and stuff. At the very end of the season, it was kind of setting up Allie and Dallas to get together. Okay, so that is Allie, where we're starting at. And so, like we talked about earlier, Allie is very lonely in Paris because Jenna and Connor are busy going on dates and stuff. So she goes to explore the city by herself, but she gets lost. When she finally finds the Eiffel Tower, her phone gets stolen, but it is rescued by Leo, who is a French barista who helps kind of show her how Paris works because Allie has been like, Paris is a terrible city. Who, like, what the fuck? And so she very quickly catches feelings for Leo and she starts neglecting her homework to spend time at the cafe that he works at. And so I think it's Jenna who convinces Allie to ask him out. But on their date, she realizes that she like needs to go to the Louvre for like an assignment or something. So she tries to convince Leo to go to the Louvre on their date instead. And Leo gets mad about this. And so she apologizes and they work things out. This then leads into the plot where Allie is not sure if she wants to have sex with Leo yet. So she invites Jenna and Connor again as a shield, which leads to the whole Jenna and Connor problems. But when Allie talks about like why she did this whole thing, Leo reassures her that they can go at whatever pace they want. Bit of time passes. It's like the end of the Paris trip at the end of the summer. And Allie does not want to leave Leo. And so she skips school for the day so that she could have one last romantic day with him. And she ends up meeting his grandparents where like Leo talks about how his grandparents had like a very romantic and they are at like the romance bridge in Paris. I don't remember what it's called, but it's like the thing where you put a locket with your names on it so that your love is immortalized forever. But as soon as they do that, Leo sees a text from Dallas who, again, Allie and Dallas were kind of flirting right before Paris. So Dallas has been kind of trying to reach out the whole summer, but Allie has been blowing him off. And so Leo sees this and he blows up and he hurts Allie's arm. Allie leaves Paris with a broken, not a broken arm, like just a bruised arm. And seemingly that she and Leo had broken up. She does tell Jenna that Leo hurt her. They all start their senior year. And it turns out that Leo has decided to transfer to Toronto University so that he could be with Allie. And he promises to never hurt Allie ever again. But of course, since Jenna knows that Leo hurt her in Paris, Jenna is very sus of him. And because of this, like Jenna also tells Claire. And so both of them are like very wary of Allie seeing him. So in order to convince her friends that Leo is a good guy, she brings him to the dance. And so Leo ends up like dancing with Jenna and Claire and like showing that he's a fun-loving guy. And so he gets a stamp of approval from Jenna and Claire. But soon after that, Allie is worried about getting into MIT again, since she was fast-tracking to get, since she got a scholarship or whatever, but she turned it down. She has to apply once again. But when Leo, like when she tells Leo that she's applying to MIT, he gets pissed because she did not include him in his plans moving forward after her senior year, since he already transferred one country to be with her, and MIT is in America, not in Canada. So it's a whole situation. And so Allie tries to think of potential solutions. And when Allie kind of brings these solutions to him, he thinks that she is calling him stupid and he hits her in the face. Allie at first is like, "You said you would never hit me again. I'm not going to take you back." But he leaves a ton of messages on her phone saying that he loves her, blah, blah, blah. And she does end up taking him back once again, but she makes him promise to like start getting help for his anger issues. Soon after that, once again, Leo announces that he will be getting deported from Canada because like his student visa didn't go through or something. Since Leo cannot be in school, he has to leave Canada. Allie says that she's going to spend one last romantic day with him, but she realizes that since her birthday is the next day, she's turning 18, so she could legally get married such that Leo could like get a green card, or I don't know the legalities of it, but essentially since he would be married to a citizen, he could stay. And so they get married at a courthouse on her birthday. Nobody else is there to witness them. Jenna and Claire are like, "Allie, what the fuck are you doing?" Right after they get married, Allie says that they can't tell anyone, especially her parents, because they're not going to be happy about the situation that she got married without telling anybody, and especially that she got married on a whim. And so Leo gets mad about keeping their relationship a secret, and he ends up beating her to a pulp. It's a very tough scene to watch. Allie is very bloody, and she's like dying on the sidewalk. It's a terrible scene. And so Allie goes home, and her parents are like, "What happened?" They call the police, and Allie says that she was just mugged by a stranger on the street. But Jenna is very suspicious, and she ultimately gets it out of Allie that it was Leo who did this to her. At this point, like, Allie is like very like physically harmed. Like, I think she has a broken arm, like her face is like very swollen. And again, Leo is trying to apologize, leaving her a ton of messages on her phone. Allie tries to tell him to leave, but he does the classic, like, "I need you, like, I will hurt myself if we don't get back together." And he ends up showing up at Degrassi. So Allie is like very scared that he's there. She's worried that like he's gonna do something either to himself or to her. And so Claire and Jenna help her realize that Leo needs to go. And so they call the police and Leo gets arrested. Fortunately, Allie is also able to get her marriage annulled because of this. At this point, Allie and Leo are done, but of course she is dealing with the repercussions of getting beaten by her husband, legally, I guess. She kind of tries to put all of her attention on her science so that she doesn't really have to think too much about what's going on. But because she has a broken arm, she is not able to do her science very well. At first, she gets Jenna to help her out, but Jenna is kind of trying to make her talk about the whole situation, and Allie does not want to talk about it. So when Dallas comes along and offers to be her lab assistant, he replaces Jenna. And we could also see that Dallas clearly is still in love with her. He's especially happy that she is no longer with Leo. And so after a couple weeks of working together as lab mates, Dallas asks Allie out on a date, but Allie says no. And she explains to Dallas that she is not ready after Leo abused her. And so Dallas is very angry at Leo. He actually shows up at Leo's house initially with the intention of like beating him up, it seemed like, but he kind of stops himself and he calls his son Rocky, who kind of calms him down from beating up Leo. Allie is then talking about how Leo will be getting deported like in the next week or so, and that she is upset that he gets to go back to Paris, like, basically with a slap on the wrist for all that he did to her. So Dallas kind of helps Allie get closure by setting up a confrontation with Leo where Allie could kind of say her piece and talk about how terribly he treated her, and that Allie finally realizes that she never deserved what Leo did to her. And that's essentially the end of the Allie-Leo saga. There are a few extra things after this with regards to Dallas, but we'll do those at the very end.
10 minutes.
Really? Oh my God. I'm terrible.
You know what? There's just a lot, which makes me nervous for the other ones, but until then.
Yes.
Okay. So starting with Allie being lonely in Paris, all Jenna's fault. No, I'm kidding. Sorry. But she is lonely, and the fact that she runs into Leo, it's like, he doesn't show anything until she leaves. And like, I was watching, I was like, what does he give any hints? The only hints, I guess, is just the him jumping to conclusions like so fast. But I feel like that could be hidden behind like language barrier and just like him being that kind of person.
You mean hints that he is abusive before he actually hurts her?
Yes.
Yeah, the only hint that I saw was how angry he got when Allie tried to like move their date to the Louvre for her assignment.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. Like him jumping, he's like, oh, like you wanted me to do your homework for you? I was like, where did you even pull that from?
Yeah.
I was like, what? So that's the only thing that I could think of. But everything else, like, besides the, I guess you could consider this what, like, love bombing or whatever. Where, I don't know, have you heard that term? Maybe.
No.
It's like kind of what, I guess, this is what I'm learning from TikTok. I'm not sure how accurate any of this is. But apparently that's what like narcissists do or something. They like give you a lot of love at first. And then when they like start to like either do something wrong or like pull it back, it's kind of like you're already in. Like you're already like, this person makes me feel so special. Like this person makes me like, you know, like he was moving really fast with her. And like, we know that's like Allie normally, but he was like going right along with it, which then when he started to abuse her, she was like, well, he made me feel so special. And like, this is something I've never had before. So like, you could say he was doing that, but I don't know if that was planned.
Yeah, like it makes sense.
Like she was calling him her boyfriend pretty much by like two episodes in.
Yeah. Which like they intense. Yeah, they were pretty down bad for each other right away, which like, I don't know. But this whole thing, once you know, like the first time that he hurts her arm, like you know exactly how the storyline is going to go, you know?
Yeah. Did you know they were gonna get married? Because I didn't.
No, but like, as soon as you realize that it's an abusive relationship storyline, you know exactly like how it's going to play out broadly for the rest of the season, you know?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
It's very much on the nose as to like, oh, she like lets the first time slide and they make up. Oh, she lets the second time slide, but she like says, this is the very, very last time. And then, oh, the third time, it's actually a terrible beatdown. And so that is, of course, the breaking point. And then, like, she has the very powerful, like, final scene where she says that, you didn't break me, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's very much, like, you know exactly how it's going to play out as soon as he hurts her arm. Which is, like, was it, like, well done? I guess so. But I knew exactly what was going to happen. So, like, I wasn't entertained or anything. You know what I mean?
I just don't think this is Allie. Like, I don't think that she's, like, she's been through so much that you think at this point where she's, like, trying to be cautious about them sleeping together that she, like, agrees to marry him. Come on. Like, what is that?
Yeah, like, the reason that they did this with Allie is because they wanted to make the point that, like, oh, it's not just insecure girls who this happens to. It also happens to really smart girls. You know? Mm-hmm. So it was, again, it was very much on the nose with like what they were trying to do and what story they were trying to tell. But I feel like we've just seen this so many times before that it didn't bring anything new to the table.
Yeah, I guess it just, for me, it was a little bit different because there's so many opportunities for her to get away from him because of, like, the fact that they don't even live in the same country, and yet she didn't take any of them, which is, like, nuts to me.
Right.
But obviously, we know how that works. Like, it's not as easy. Like, it's easier to say from, like, an outside point of view.
Yes, but also at the same time, the fact that they really had to jump through hoops in order to get this storyline to happen in the first place. Like, the fact that they had to make him literally move countries in order for the storyline to continue after the Paris arc.
I wonder if they didn't want to make it a Degrassi person, because, like, they wanted to be able to have her and Dallas get back together without it being somebody, like, that's going to be around.
Right.
And that's, yeah, that makes sense why they did it then.
Yeah. Like that. But, like, it's just not relatable. Like, even if, like, you're a viewer who has been, like, in a similar type of situation, I can guarantee that most teenagers are not, like, having a foreign boyfriend move countries to be with them, and then their boyfriend getting deported is an issue such that you have to get married to him so that he could stay.
What about Lizzie McGuire when she went on her field trip and fell in love with an Italian pop star?
Yeah, just everyday girly things.
No, I get what you're saying, though. It is ridiculous in that sense. And it just, even with, like, his parents and, okay, two things. One, what was this school doing? Why are we letting them just walk around all day by themselves? What? Even when I went on a trip, that was not what happened. Two, I feel like her parents would have never let this boy come over and stay in their house, in her, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like, where were her parents, honestly?
Yeah,
like,
because they knew about Leo too.
Yeah, which is nuts that they even were like, oh yeah, like, that totally makes sense. This random man you met in France is now moving here and living, like, within driving distance of us and going to go to tea. What?
Yeah.
My parents would be like, what a psycho.
Right?
Like, what is this old man doing following my child around? Because we know he, like, was in college.
Yeah.
At that point. Or, like, I don't know how old he was. But, yeah. So there's a few things that, like, would normally, that would not have worked. I feel like they just ignored them. Like, her parents and the school and everything.
Because, like, they try to kind of talk about it with, like, Claire and Jenna being wary of him. Like, they're like, Allie, this guy just moved countries for you. Do you don't think that's weird, you know? And, like, Jenna especially is like, he hurt you. Like, please don't go to him. He just moved countries. Don't trust him. But then he dances with both Claire and Jenna, and suddenly it's okay. It's like, he just showed that he's charming, and so it's fine that he's here. You know, it's like they really wrote it in a way that it didn't really make sense. Yeah, it's like, I don't know why. Yeah, that's my question. Why? Like, it could have been done, but the fact that they made it be like a foreign French dude because they, for some reason, wanted to do a couple episodes in Paris. Like,
yeah.
Because of that, like, they could have just changed several details to make it not as absurd, and it would have been, like, so much better, even if it went the same exact way.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, especially the marriage thing. It's like, what was the point? Like, they're just amping up the drama for the sake of the drama rather than because it makes sense for the storyline.
I don't know. Especially because I really do think that Allie would not have done that. I really don't think she would have married a man who treated her like that.
Yeah.
I know she got back together with him, but, like, she did dump Johnny once he sent out her nudes, and I feel like that's pretty equal. It's worse. It's absolutely worse. But they're two different types of bad.
Yes.
I will say, though, this man is proving if he wants to, he will. He will move there for you, I guess. Would you want him? No. But, like, this man will do it.
Like, when you compare it to Johnny, That was freshman Allie. This is senior year Allie after she has gone through like several toxic relationships at this point, and she has grown so much at this point.
That's what I'm saying. It just doesn't add up. It's not a thing she would do.
Yeah. So like, again, I recognize that their point is it could happen to anybody. It could be you. Just because you think you're smart doesn't mean it won't happen to you. Like, I get that point and I respect it. But it does not fit for Allie herself after the several seasons of character development that she's been through for it to like go this way.
Absolutely. I agree. I mean, they tried to do all the basic like abusive relationship things too. Like, oh, like fix me, all that shit. Like, he's like, oh, Allie, like, you know, like I'll get therapy, whatever. And then she's like, you need therapy. What's crazy was she was like, he needs therapy. And then when people are like, Allie, you need therapy, she's like, fuck off. Like, come on.
Yep.
What are you doing?
Exactly.
I don't know. It was definitely a mess. It was, I know you don't think it was entertaining, but honestly, I did kind of think it was entertaining because I forgot how like chaotic all of this was. Like, I was like, oh my God, I forgot. Then he moves to Degrassi. Oh my God, then he works at the Dot. Oh my God, they're getting married. I was like, what? And I was like, oh my God, Dallas wants to fight him. So good with Dallas, though. He is an attractive old man they have on the show, I will say that. Yeah, so I totally agree. This was just a mess and probably could have been done with literally anybody else, but it just did not fit with her.
Exactly. Because especially Allie kind of ended in season 12 where she's like, she broke up with Dave specifically because she wanted to focus on school and science and stuff. So that's where we kind of left her in season 12. And we also left her with kind of having a little flirtationship with Dallas. And so for them to just kind of pivot, not only away from Dallas and kind of dropping that aspect, but they're also just kind of regressing her character back to several seasons before, like kind of ignoring all the development that she's been through.
Yes. Yep, absolutely. So, I also was like, this is kind of just weird like thing that I picked up, but I was confused whether or not this guy is supposed to be intelligent, because like, first of all, Allie doesn't need a tutor. So what was the deal with that? Him like tutoring her? Like, what was that?
Wasn't she just trying to flirt with him? Feel like tutor me.
I don't know, because they were like talking science and he was like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, oh, you're so smart. Like, whatever. I don't know. I don't know if it was flirting. I don't know what the deal was, but it just was like confusing on whether or not this man was intelligent. I did not understand where we were going with it, but yeah, not that it really matters that much. It just was weird to follow.
And again, like, as soon as he hurts her the first time, you know exactly how it's going to go. So like, they try to like kind of make it a little bit nuanced by showing that like, oh, he's sometimes a good guy, but because you know how it's going to go, I'm not invested in like the cute moments they have.
I don't think any of it's cute, like at all. Yeah.
Like even before he hurts her the first time, it's like, I'm not invested in this relationship because it's a new character. And again, they're ignoring what they set up at the end of season 12 with Dallas.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why do I care about this random new relationship when they were setting up for something entirely different? I'm just, at this point, I'm just like confused. I'm like, what are they doing? And then he hurts her and is like, oh, this is what they're doing. This is how it's going to go for the next 20 episodes.
For the next 20 episodes. Okay. So since we're like kind of wrapping that up a little bit, it's just is kind of ridiculous how they close this off with just the fact that he gets deported. Like, I feel like there was inconsistencies with what was going to happen. At first, they were like, oh, do you have to go to court? Yeah. Oh, like, just kidding. He's actually being deported, like, this Saturday. I was like, what is happening? Like, I just did not get it.
And even outside of the, like, logistics and, like, details of that, like, I'm not too hung up on those things in particular. But it's like, Allie doesn't actually address the situation, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they talk about like, oh, she's kind of ignoring her feelings and focusing on her science. And then they even bring up, like you said, Jenna is like, you should go to therapy. Allie's like, no.
Yeah.
And then they just don't bring that up again. They're just like, okay, she's focusing on her science, so she's feeling a little better. And then she like has her power moment when she tells him off right before he gets deported. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't actually like deal with the fact that she was abused. They're just like, yeah, it happened. She's dating Dallas now and he's a better guy, so it's okay. And it's like, but I feel like before she gets back together with Dallas, she should address the fact that she was emotionally and physically abused for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, she like kind of does address it like a little bit. Like, I think her having that conversation with him is supposed to be her addressing it, but I don't know.
But just because she told him off doesn't mean that there aren't still scars.
Oh, yeah, no, I totally agree. Like, that they probably should have been like, she needs to go to therapy, but...
Yeah.
Do they ever readdress that? No, right?
No, it's just she's with Dallas now, and Dallas is a good guy, so clearly she's in a better position now, you know?
So dumb. I don't know.
Yeah, because, like, when Dallas first asked her out before he knew what happened, like, she's very much like, I'm not ready for a relationship because I was just abused. And then like, yes. I think like 4 or 5 episodes later, it's like, okay, I'm ready now.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're right. That did happen.
It's like they never really like show her healing to the point where she feels okay, like seeing somebody again.
Yeah. That's where I wonder if that's why they didn't want to make it a Degrassi character, because then they could just like bring Dallas in and there's like no pushback. Like it's like, oh, Dallas can prove that he's a good guy, and like we don't have to worry about them running into this man who's going to be deported, or there's no crossover with like friendships or anything.
Right, they're just able to write him off the show.
Yeah,
and like it never happened.
Right, I mean, it's better than when they did that, what was that girl's name, Jack or something?
What about
Imogen's like girlfriend? I feel like she gets written off pretty quick. She's like in and out.
She kind of gets blackholed, but
yeah. It's like the same thing. They always do that to Blue, another good one.
Well, yeah, but like in this case, it was a massive thing that happened. And it's like, okay, the way that we wrote this means that we could just deport him to another country so we never talk about him again. It's like, what? Okay.
Yeah. Do you want to wrap this up for them?
Sure, yeah.
I feel like we're kind of just like circling, like we're not adding anything.
Yeah, I just want to emphasize again that it's like there was no nuance to the situation. Like, it's the pitch for the storyline was Allie's a smart girl, she gets abused, to show that smart people could also get abused, and that's the story they told. There was nothing really more to it. Like, I feel like the other abuse storylines, like with Terry, it was like Terry's kind of thing was that she was insecure, so it at least made sense for her character to get abused and go back to him. And then there was also kind of the aspect that Terry going into a coma was kind of an accident. So there was kind of that nuance to it. Mm-hmm. With Fiona, I guess the abuse itself was very short-lived, but they really showed how it affected her emotionally afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with Allie, it's just like, the whole thing is that she just keeps going back to him. And that's really it.
Yeah, and I guess there's, from there, you're right, like there's no purpose for it after. Like, at least with Terry, like she went in the coma, like, yeah, she was technically blackholed, but like they continued it with Rick. They showed like, this is what happens, like this is the type of guy that does this, like is also connected to this. And like same with Fiona, yeah, we see her journey with it, but you're right, no, there was literally like, I don't know what the goal was. There was no goal.
Especially since once Allie gets together with Dallas, she doesn't do anything. So it's like, okay, she just went through all this so that she could get with Dallas. But she could have just gotten together with Dallas like at the beginning of the season when they set them up to get together in the first place. Mm-hmm. So it's like, this didn't really change anything about Allie's character moving forward. It's just kind of a thing that happened to her.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That's like a good way to put it. There's just no point. They could have done without it.
Yeah, very, very sad, but it's what it is.
I will say though, like, whatever makeup they put on her face for her eye, so gross, but like, holy shit, was that believable?
Yeah.
That was like insane. Like, her eye was like red on the inside. Like, did they make her wear like, I don't know. It was just like, it was really gross to look at. And I know that was the point.
So good job on the makeup department, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, if we're going to give props, I guess. So there you go.
Okay. So let's finish things off with Dallas, which of course also ties in with Allie. And again, quick recap, season 12 for Dallas. He was hockey star. He was basically the villain of season 12 for a big part of it. He bullied Cam and he was basically a menace to various other characters throughout the season. But when Cam unfortunately committed suicide, this kind of changed Dallas's character around to realize that he can't continue treating people like shit. And this also kind of convinces him to spend more time with his son, Rocky. And so that's where we're starting off with him in season 13. For most of the season, he is kind of just like a supporting character for Drew or for Allie. But the first storyline that actually involves him is that Drew and Dallas are doing a project together for history. And Dallas has been skipping class a shit ton, basically just to hook up with various girls and to trick himself silly. When Drew realizes that this is a problem, he decides that he needs to get involved to kind of get Dallas's ass in gear. So he pays a girl that Dallas hooked up with to tell him that she is pregnant, to kind of scare him straight. But it turns out that Dallas did not have sex with that girl. So it kind of blows up in Drew's face. It then kind of seems like Dallas has run away because he took all of his stuff from the Torres house. And Drew, while looking for him, finds out that he was kicked off of the hockey team. And he's been off the hockey team for like a couple months at this point. So Drew kind of realizes that that's kind of the root of the problem, that he said that he doesn't have hockey anymore. So he tries to get in contact with him, but he can't. And then Dallas shows up drunk to the presentation and he ends up throwing up. And that is what makes him realize that he needs to get his shit together. So he comes back to the Torres house with all his stuff and says that he's going to do better for himself. And he and Drew kind of talk things out. Okay. During this time, Dallas then gets involved with Allie, with helping her with the science fair. And so the science fair is coming up and they are getting ready to like bring all of their stuff to the science fair. And Jenna warns Dallas to not try anything with Allie until after the science fair, so that she could focus on her science and not worry about boys, and so that she could do as well as she can at the fair. But like, they're at the mall at some point, I think shopping for clothes, and a smoke bomb goes off, and Dallas and Connor are detained by the security for questioning, and they realize that it is only because they are Black. They are kind of left at the mall for a couple hours and they're questioned, and like, since of course they didn't do anything, they just end up leaving and they're pissed that their whole day was wasted. They also end up missing the bus to the science fair because they were detained, and they end up taking Mr. Simpson's SUV because, reminder, Connor lives with Mr. Simpson as his godchild. They end up getting pulled over by a policeman, not because they were speeding or anything, but because Dallas is Black and he was driving a fancy car. And so they get taken to the police station for the night. And of course they let go because they were allowed to have the car with them. Dallas at this point is kind of at his wit's end with the racism and such that when they get to the science fair, Dallas ends up lashing out at one of the judges who visits their kind of display, because Dallas believes that the judge is stereotyping him, thinking that because he's Black, he could not be smart enough to have done all of the science with Allie. And so this kind of screws Allie over a bit for the science fair, because the judge is mad at Dallas and thus at his project. And this kind of gets Allie pissed at Dallas for kind of ruining her chances. Allie's dad actually then ends up talking to Dallas about his own experiences with racism and how it's not a question of whether to fight back, but how. So instead of like just talking off at one of the judges, like kind of file a complaint or something like that. So Dallas ends up going to apologize to the judge and explaining the situation to Allie, who is still kind of upset, but she understands. But of course, Allie ends up winning the whole science fair. And in celebration, she and Dallas officially get together.
Yay.
Yay.
Okay, so kind of what we've been saying for the other three people that we've talked about, there's not like, they're not putting a lot of effort here into what's going on. And this kind of like was a conversation you and I were having before we even started, is that we don't know why Dallas isn't on the hockey team anymore. Like, we can make assumptions, but we don't know. So there's kind of like a little plot hole in itself. Like, would it have been nice if they connected it back to either like Adam or Cam? Yeah, missed opportunity, absolutely, but whatever, we'll just have to work on it, or work with what we've got, I guess. The drinking thing is it just doesn't, like, we can't do anything with it because we don't know why it's happening.
Exactly.
Like,
because they frame it as Dallas is drinking and being self-destructive because he got kicked off the hockey team, but they don't explain why he got kicked off the hockey team. They kind of imply that he got kicked off the hockey team because he was drinking and not showing up, but he's currently drinking and not showing up because he's not on the hockey team. So, like, what is going on here? And yes, it absolutely 100% should have been connected to Cam and to Adam. Dallas lost two people that he considered little brothers, one after another. And, like, he doesn't talk about that at all. And this would have been a perfect opportunity to do that. But they're just like, nope, he's just fucking up just because.
Who knows? Yeah. Literally what? And also, it's funny because, like, Drew is like, stop sleeping around. And then he's like, I'm literally not. Like, I didn't even sleep with her. Like, why can I hook up with who I want to hook up with? It just was so strange. And I guess they just needed Dallas to have some sort of character development in order to, like, get to the point where, like, him and Allie can get together and he's, like, a decent person. So they had him do this. Whatever.
But Dallas kind of already was a good person at the end of season 12.
I guess so. Well, do you think, is he coping with, like, his son stuff too? Like, is there anything with his son that happened at the end of the season 12?
At the end of season 12, Dallas is like, I'm going to start being an actual present father.
Okay, so never mind. I got nothing. It's just, we're just reaching here.
Yeah, that's the other thing. They set up Dallas to kind of have a thing with Allie and to have more things relating to being a dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do pretty much nothing with both of those things in season 13 with him. So it's like, what was the reason for setting it up in the first place if you're just not going to do anything with it?
I don't know. Whatever. Okay, so he does all that, throws up. Now he's like, I'm going to change my life or whatever. And then he helps Allie. He steps it up for her and helps her out. And it's kind of cute. I don't know. I'm a fan. I like them.
I do like them. But again, like we just talked about, like, they just had to make Dallas look good in comparison to an abuser, when I think Dallas is a lot better than just not an abuser, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of disappointing in that sense, that it's like, Allie is in such a much better place now because Dallas is a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
When, like, Dallas is, he's not my favorite character. And I do think he is a good guy. But I do think that, like, there's more complexity to his character than just, he is a good enough guy to date Allie Vendari, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's very true. Is there anything else for, like, Allie and Dallas in general?
Well, I do think, like, yes, Dallas was being a good guy by helping Allie with her science and stuff. And, like, yes, he did say that, like, what was the scene? It was like, promise me that we'll only ever talk about science and nothing else, you know?
That, like, was so cute.
Like, yes, it's very cute, but you also know that he has ulterior motives at the end of the day.
Very, like, true.
Like, we know that he's into her. He's always been into her. So him saying that just kind of feels a bit disingenuous, because you know at the end of the day, he wants more than just, mm-hmm. like, to be her friend.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But he does kind of, like, hold out, though, for a pretty long time until she's the one that calls him her boyfriend.
I am fine with, like, how they end up together. But it's just a teeny bit sketchy to me that, like, he's helping her not because he's trying to help her through her trauma. Like, he is trying to help her through her trauma, but that's not all he's trying to do. He's also trying to get with her.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. I don't know. Like, I think a lot of it for him this season is him and Drew, really. Like, I know we're, like, talking about him and Allie, and, like, that's, you know, like, it's a cute thing to happen, but when I was, like, looking for him specifically, most if not all the times that he's, like, in the show, he is, like, Drew's sidekick, pretty much.
Yes.
So I know we'll probably, will we talk about them when we talk about Drew, or is that not really the plan?
We can definitely bring it up.
Okay. But yeah, so I think their relationship is definitely important. So we'll talk about it at some point.
Well, the thing about the whole Dallas drinking episode is that it's told from Drew's perspective.
Yes. Which is why I was so confused as to what was even happening.
Yeah. So it's like, this episode is about Dallas's development and, like, you know, getting out of a rut. Who knows what that rut is, because we don't see his perspective of what's going on. We see Drew reacting to Dallas being self-destructive, but we don't understand why Dallas is being self-destructive in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. It just is like, it doesn't make any sense.
No.
But I will say, do you want to go into, like, the racial profiling plots? Because there is some things. They do give him something.
Yes, yes.
Okay. I was very nervous about where this was going at first, because not that Degrassi does a bad job with these things. I just feel like this is a very, like, modern day problem. And I think I was like, okay, how are we going to do this? And I think Mr. Bhandari saved the day in this plot, like him coming in. But I think Dallas was a good person to pick for it. It was interesting that, like, Connor really wasn't, like, picking up on what was going on, which was an interesting part of it. But I get it. I get why he's upset. It was absolutely within, like, 2 days was this man, like, racially profiled, like, twice, you know?
So I do think that this is the best Degrassi has ever done with regards to racism.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. Like, I think we've probably covered all of them at this point, except for the whole Frankie thing in Next Class, which that's a whole thing that we'll eventually get to. But I do think this is probably the best time that they showed it, like, where they actually, like, talked about racism and such.
Yeah.
Because it was actually about the feelings and how it affected an actual Black person.
Mm-hmm.
Which, what other, let's see, there was the one with Danny and Derek, which was okay, I guess. There was the one with Hazel. That was pretty good, too.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, this really showed how specifically, like, racism and microaggressions, like, really take a toll on Black people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was thinking specifically about stereotype threat. Do you know that term?
No.
It's like, I've mostly learned about it with regards to, like, academia and, like, how minorities kind of learn in a college setting. But I think it applies more broadly. It's kind of like, if someone is kind of aware of a stereotype about a group that they're a part of, then they're kind of hyper aware of that stereotype when they're in a situation that it might affect them. For example, the stereotype would be like Black people are not good at school, for example. So like if they're taking an exam, psychologically that could kind of affect their performance on an exam and make them on average do worse than somebody without that stereotype.
Very interesting. Okay.
So in this case, I was kind of thinking about how Dallas was kind of hyper aware throughout these two episodes of like racial profiling and the fact that he was Black because of the mall incident and the car incident.
Mm-hmm.
And so when there was even a slight hint that the judge was also being racist, because Dallas kind of had that stereotype in the back of his mind that like Black people are like dangerous, or in this case, I guess it would be not smart because it was the science fair, that kind of caused him to lash out at the judge.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I totally agree. Like, I didn't even know there was like a name for it, but I feel like that makes like a ton of sense. Plus, like, it's happened literally to him two other times before this. So even if the judge wasn't, he's already like in that mindset.
Yeah, like he was already kind of on edge about anything related to being Black.
Yeah.
So even just like perception that the judge might have been stereotyping him or whatever,
mm-hmm.
is why he reacted like he did to the
judge. Yeah, absolutely. And like I kind of said before, I think Mr. Bhandari like coming in and being like, you're not wrong, you know, like it probably is happening or like whatever, but it's just the matter of like how are you going to act versus like do you remember exactly what he said?
Yeah, it was like, it's not a matter of whether or not to fight, but how, or something like that.
See, that would have been a clip, Jasper, that I'm surprised you didn't pull. Ready to go for that one.
I could bring it up if you want.
Well, you already quoted it perfectly. But I think that it was good because I really was like, where are we going with this? Is it just that like Allie is going to tell him to calm down and then he's just going to calm down? Because I don't like that. You know, like I don't like... I don't want to just push this aside. Like, I want to see what they're going to do. And the fact that he's going to go press charges is like best case scenario. I was like, this is perfect. Like, yes, go in there. Like, even if nothing comes from it, at least like there's a report written and it's done and like whatever.
Yeah. I do think that it is a teeny bit whitewashed because it's kind of like working within the system that is already against you in order to like make change happen. You know what I mean? Because like the police are already against him because he's Black. So what is his report going to do? You know, like they're framing it as like, yes, this is the correct path to take, like file a complaint, blah, blah, blah. And I understand why Degrassi did that, because like it's overwhelmingly run by white people. And this is also kind of, this was like, what, 2013? So kind of before the racial reckoning that our society has had recently. But kind of looking at it with a 2022 lens, it's like, yes, Dallas could like fight back in like a quote unquote correct way, but that requires working within the system that is already against him.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nuanced in that way that like nothing's really going to happen because the society is going to take the side of the white cop over a Black man.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I mean, obviously, like, we know that, but I think that the way that Degrassi approached it for the situation that they're setting up, I think that was kind of the only way it was going to end.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Like, it's not like they were going to continue the storyline, unfortunately.
Yeah. And I mean, like, the Black Lives Matter stuff comes back up later in the Netflix series, so it's not like it just disappears completely.
Right.
But I do kind of think it's interesting too that like Allie has never had or brought up any experiences that she's had, because I feel like there was like a lot of, at least from what I understand, like a lot of racism towards like Muslim people in Canada. So I feel like it's kind of weird that like she personally never said that she experienced anything. Like she kind of just was like mad about this, like what was going on there. So I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like they made a vague reference to the fact that Allie has had experiences before, because like when Dallas told her, she was like, you should have talked to me, I would have understood. You know?
Oh, I was thinking that she would have understood, like, if he was like, this is what happened to me. And she would have been like, oh yeah, like now I understand why you're upset. Not like, I understand because I experienced it. But I guess it could go either way.
Right. Like, if there was a reference to Allie having experienced racism before, that was it. But it was very vague.
Yeah. But, yeah, I guess it, like, definitely was not the worst. Like, it's not the worst that they've done. Like, it is up there. I just always get, like, a little nervous when they do things like this because it's very much a hit or miss. But I think they did a good job, especially with pulling in Mr. Bhandari. Like, anytime. I really think that was just such a good idea. Sorry, one last thing. Yeah, because one of my notes was like, what are they trying to say? There's a time and a place to like confront racism. I was like, where is this going?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah. Yeah. Anything else for Dallas in general?
I guess just with respect to him and Allie getting together at the end of this, again, they pretty much do nothing either individually or together. Mm-hmm. After this, I think they maybe have one storyline in season 14. So even though, like, this is a common discussion point, I guess, in the Degrassi fandom, that, like, do you prefer Dave and Allie or Dallas and Allie?
Dallas and Allie. I hate Dave.
Well, that's kind of the point, because, like, Dallas and Allie on paper are a healthier couple, but because they don't do anything as a couple, it's like, what is the point of them even being a couple? Whereas Dave and Allie, even though they were a bit tumultuous, they still had a lot of development together as a couple.
I think that Dallas and Allie, like, the drama that they have isn't between them, it's like the outside world on like them personally. So like, although yeah, like he didn't mention that he had a kid, like then they didn't date after until like later on. So I just like, I can't get behind Dave. Like I just can't do it. I can't get behind Dave and Allie. It's never gonna happen. Sorry. No. I don't even care. I don't even care if they like got married, I'd still be pissed.
And that's a fine opinion.
What about like, you? What are you thinking?
Well, I also am not a Dave fan, as you know.
Yeah.
But I do see the point that, like, Dallas and Allie as a couple, are they even a couple? Because they don't do anything as a couple.
Yeah. I mean, like, you don't think they have chemistry? I feel like I see it.
They do.
I never see this.
They do have chemistry, but I don't know. It's just when they're together, they're just very boring.
I guess you can kind of look at it as like the same thing as
Jenna and Connor.
I was thinking even like Danny and Shantae only have like two plots together and then they kind of just like coexist.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of couples that just get together and then like that's it.
Yeah. So it's like Dallas and Allie don't really have any flavor to their relationship, you know?
Yeah, but I think the buildup to it, like I approve. Like I don't think Dave would have been able to do what Dallas did. Dave sounds like he would bring up her abuse in a fight.
Ooh. I don't like that.
I'm just saying, like, he seems like that kind of guy. But.
Well, Dave is black holes. So.
I know. Okay. Season 13. Look at us go. This is very exciting. Our goal is to, like, try to line up us finishing going through Degrassi by the time like the HBO Max one comes out. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. But there's also the question if that also includes 80s Degrassi or not.
It'll really depend on how much time we have, I think.
Yeah.
But well, there's a couple breaks that we take. The summer, I'm very much like going places and you occasionally go places, so we could take our time if we want.
I think we'll at least get through the Netflix series for sure.
Sounds good to me. That's our goal.
Yes.
All right, so then for next time, we are going to be doing Maya, Zig, and Miles.
A love triangle of all love triangles. Yeah, season 13 is a doozy. Yeah, so thank you for listening, and we'll see you soon.